board meeting to order. And second item on the agenda, we'll start with an update from the recent workshop. Jason.
Good morning, everyone. This progress report speaks to the progress that has been made since the workshop we had on, I'm sorry, November 14th. So it includes November 16th and also the last workshop, which was 2 days ago. Just to sort of reiterate just a couple of things, what's going on at all of these workshops. The objective of the working group and the workshops is to engage in an inclusive regional dialogue about the formation of regional governance structure for water production in the region. And the desired outcome of this effort is that we end up with a 28F intergovernmental agreement that the regional water boards and municipalities are willing and able to sign. That's what we're aiming for in all of this. We've talked a lot about what the progress we've made is up until that November 16th workshop. So I'll cover what was done in these last two as an update for today. The other progress is a matter of public record already posted on, I believe there's three websites where you can go back and look at everything we've done up to date. So workshop number 5, which was held on November 16th, was building on the concepts of business valuation. Up to this point, we had spoken in the workshop just prior to this about the possibility of transfer of assets into this regional entity that would cause it to own all or substantially all of the regional production assets, with some exceptions at that point. We continued to refine the concept of what we were talking about with respect to that value of what those assets were. We talked about what reserve capacity was and why that was valuable, that it was the difference between the capacity that exists in the facilities and that which would be already used by the existing customers, and that reserve capacity was indeed a valuable asset for the region because it represented unused capacity. It was available to be used for regional demand. We attempted to answer some additional questions that had come up during the workshop prior. We handled or tried to handle the concepts of what happens to those who don't have purchase capacity. For example, Johnston was an example given. We talked about how we might go about handling debt that was outstanding yet on the purchase capacity and all the reserve capacity. We talked about the alignment of the governance under this kind of structure and how that would come together. We talked about exactly what the inventory of those assets would be. And I've got that highlighted. There'll be a little bit more on that here in a minute because that led to the workshop we had just earlier this week on Tuesday. And we talked a little bit about the membership in the regional system and who would involve and who's there. What left us with this need to further explore the idea of asset transfer more carefully, a little bit more in depth, which of the specific assets in the region should truly be included in that regional entity. The question that was posed to the group was whether or not the working definition we were using, which was really not all of the assets, it was a substantial amount of the assets, but some of them had been excluded from our discussion for various reasons. Those agencies in the region who already own water production facilities that only currently are connected to their own distribution systems have been left out of the idea of including the assets in the regional inventory. There was a question put to the group that sort of went along the lines of, well, when we say all assets, shouldn't really mean all of the assets? And so we left this discussion wanting to ask those who own these assets whether or not they really should be included or not included, and what the technical reasons would be for either one of those, or in the case where technical reason needed to be augmented or not, other comments for why they should be included. economic reasons, policy reasons, et cetera. And that is something we followed up on in the intervening weeks. We also noted that we had an idea on the table at that point about the another vision for regionalization that was an expansion of the Des Moines Water Works Board of Trustees. And we didn't talk about it at that particular workshop, but we noted that we needed to at our next one because it represented one of the visions that was out there. So in between time, there was a couple weeks in between here, back, I can figure this out. We sent a survey out to those who own these regional assets and asked them to complete it. There were 36 assets on the list. Each one was sort of included or don't included. That was the first part of the answer. The second part of the answer was, please explain to us, you know, why you think it should be included or excluded. And there was room for commentary in there. We got all of those back. And then that became the basis for the workshop we had on Tuesday. We started that workshop, though, with getting everybody on the same page with the, I call it three visions that seem to be emerging from all of our workshop encounters. That the regional vision could take one of three of these forms as general categories. The first being that there would be a separate regional board that was empowered to manage and govern all of the existing and all of the future capacity in the region. This is what we've spent some time talking about most recently because it would involve transfer of the existing assets into the entity. And a little bit more on where people see this as a vision here in a minute. The second vision is one we have not spent a lot of time talking about, although early on it seemed like there was a great deal of general agreement that you could have a board that was formed, a separate and independent one, that only looked at the future capacity needs of the region, that all of the existing capacity could remain where it is, managed as it is, and so forth, but that the new board would take care of those next increments of capacity and would own that portion of the regional water production. And then this third vision was one where the board itself, the Des Moines Water Works Board, could be expanded to include more regional seats on it, and that it would then, by definition, govern a good portion of the regional production from that vantage point. We talked about number one and three on Tuesday evening. We talked about the board expansion first and tried to lay out a definition for what that really meant. What it's intended to be is a difference and a departure from the other two options. So I'm going to refer to it as option three. This is really meant to avoid a lot of the asset transfer that we've been discussing and has its own set of difficulties around it. This was meant to just simply expand that board and include more members from the region, and that board would handle all the water production. But what it wasn't was, it was not an attempt to sort of remove the local decision-making from the distribution system portion of the system. That power was reserved in this definition for at least the current Des Moines Water Works Board, so there needed to be some kind of demarcation there between production and distribution. That was one of the challenges we came to realize on Tuesday. We don't think it requires as much asset transfer, although there is still some that would need to be considered. And then rather than forming a brand new board, as would be required under options one and two, it actually works from the existing board. And was thought to be a little bit easier for that reason. So with respect to this idea, we discussed a couple of big challenges that present themselves, both legal and practical. The legal challenges that we run into there go to Iowa code and also local code. Board appointments, for one, fell under Iowa code 388.3. The mayor needs to appoint the board members, and it's subject to the approval of city council. Well, if we're going to have regional members on the board, it sort of asks, is the mayor the proper appointment authority for those regional members? We reasoned that perhaps it wasn't, and that therefore something might need to be changed to the code if we really wanted to accomplish a regional set of appointments. Board size was another challenge that seems to exist there. The same, well, 388.2 in the code provides for either three or five members, but it limits it to those two. I think the vision for the expanded board was one where it needed to include several more seats than just three or five. And so that seemed to be a challenge as well, that that part of the code would seem to need amendment if we wanted that to work. From a practical perspective, regional production versus local distribution poses a certain set of challenges all its own. So even if you were able to get past these first two legal challenges and you had a larger board, then is dealing with decisions for the entire set of assets, and that is the Des Moines Water Works utility. And within that, it's really only the water production where anyone has a vision for this regional governance to take place. Well, you still have all of these distribution functions going on over here. So there wasn't a very clear idea on how we would separate the two. So we proposed a starting point for a discussion on this. Looked a bit like this, that under the existing structure, you have the one board that oversees all of the governance for both water production and distribution. And under a future structure, you would need to have something that resembled the picture on the right, that the proposed board would govern the production and perhaps the existing Des Moines Water Works Board of Trustees would govern all of the distribution functions. Of course, there would be Des Moines members on the proposed board as well. But we talked about how this vision kind of came about so that we could suggest it and talk about it. And then we kind of asked people what their thoughts were about this. We did a number of live polling exercises on Tuesday. So yes, we ran into some difficulties and some complexities with this. I think when people looked at the vision for how it would really come together in order to work, they felt it was quite a bit more complex than originally anticipated. We did do some polling on it. I'll get to that. I've got a slide that shows the results of that in a minute, but as we went through the evening, we did do some live polling on site. This idea of the expanded board initially came out as the number two ranked idea as we were going into this discussion. And by the end of the evening, after we had this discussion, it ended up ranking 3 out of 3. So, you know, we took away from that that it was more complex than people kind of thought it was initially, that there were some challenges there that maybe hadn't been thought of before, and that caused people to think otherwise once we had the chance to ask them. We then moved on to this issue of asset inclusion and how that needed to be looked at more closely. Like I said, we had sent out a survey in the week. Sort of everyone took a break during the week of Thanksgiving, but the week after we had this survey going out and coming back to us. As I said, there were 36 assets in the survey, and what we were asking the asset owners to do was to weigh in on what their thoughts were on what should or shouldn't be included in the regional inventory. Out of the 36, we had total agreement on 23 of these items, which is pretty good. There were 13 where we did not have total agreement, and so we focused on those 13 for our workshop. We introduced the group to the notion of what the term used and useful means in utility industry. It's a term that's been around with us for a very long time. The Supreme Court first introduced it in 1898 as a terminology. It simply talks about what assets really need to be in order for them to be, for their costs to be recoverable by a utility, and we gave the definitions of that. If a asset is used to meet a portion of regional demand and useful to meeting the regional obligation of service, there's an argument that they should be included into the regional entity. And arguments against would say that some of these assets are only used for select customers, so they don't benefit everyone. These two ideas are both rational in their own way, and so it used and useful gives us something nice as a definition as a go-by, but it doesn't give us a any kind of final answer with respect to any of these assets. It just kind of helps us make a comparison and use these things as a concept to measure against. So we went through each one of these and asked everyone where they sat with each one of the assets we discussed. Really, it was a live voting of, you know, do you think this should be included? Do you think it shouldn't be included? So we had a couple of categories in the yes, it should be included side. Those are in green. We had a strong yes, we had a probable yes, and then we had no's. And then we also kind of asked them if it didn't matter. I think fortunately nobody answered any of these questions with the doesn't matter answer. So it was either yes, probably, or no in each case. I've grouped these together for the interest of time this morning, but the source of supply assets are shown here, included Maffitt Reservoir, the Urbandale raw water quarries, and Chain of Lakes. And as you can see, the results were, you know, opinion weighed towards yes. And before we start reading too much into this live polling, imagine that this is a bunch of people answering questions that are presented to them on the spot. It was not scientifically selected, it was not scientifically controlled, and so it should not be interpreted as a scientific outcome. It's merely a straw poll of opinion of people who are in the room. And so this is the raw result from it. We moved on to the wells and the treatment. Those included some wells and equipment that are owned by West Des Moines, there on the first one. The AC Ward treatment plant, also owned by West Des Moines, and then we had the Altoona wells and treatment facilities there, and you can see how those results came out as well. Primarily yes. And on to storage, transmission, and meters. Hazen Storage, 98th Street Tower, and some raw water mains that are owned by West Des Moines. They actually feed the plant, so they were connected really to the AC Ward plant. Again, you can see primarily the opinion in the room was that these things really ought to be included, which kind of helps explain where our more important poll question was. Going into the evening, as we introduced the three visions that seemed to be on the table for regional formation, we had the three that I discussed. We asked everybody before we even started the discussion where they thought those three sat in terms of preference, order of preference. And on the before column over there, option one, which was the existing and future capacity option, ranked number one. The expanded board, which was option number three, ranked second in that pre-poll. And then the future capacity only ranked third. By the end of the evening, we had swapped the second and third place ones there. So where we go into this evening is we're still looking at option one that included existing and future capacity. And the expanded board has sort of fallen a little bit in terms of people's opinions. So the agenda for, it says December 5th, I think it's actually the 6th. It says the 6th, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Proposal for advancing regional formation under option one. You know, having talked with several people and having looked at these poll results, what we're going to be presenting tonight is a structure that is a suggestion as a talking point that we can discuss what a regional formation would look like under that option. It'll include how we put all of the assets in there. It'll include how the board would be formed and configured, and discuss all the authorities of the board and some challenges. I think that's going to be a significant discussion. And before we finish with tonight, we need to really discuss what our agenda is going to be for the following week as we try to get towards that point where we have a draft agreement that we can circulate to all of the entities who've been involved, and we can really start a little bit more detailed work on getting that into a place where everyone would be willing and able to sign it, perhaps. So that is the conclusion of my report for this morning. Happy to try to answer your questions if I can.
Jason, could you go back one slide for us?
Absolutely.
And then before that, Bill, remind us when we think the current reserve capacity would be used up. It's less than 5 years, right?
The current reserve capacity, if we're assuming that'll be about 10 MGD, Steve, no, it would be closer to 10
years. 10 years. So I guess, I think it's December, and I guess we need to narrow this down. Is there anybody on the board that thinks we need to continue to talk about the second or third option here? Or do we all agree we should continue to focus on the first one? Is everybody satisfied that option two and three probably aren't viable?
I think we should put our efforts on number one.
Okay. Does anybody else disagree with that? I mean, we need to refine it.
I guess I'm not ready to put future capacity on with it, but I think it still should be a topic. But if I'm in minority.
So are you saying that Karen, a separate board only for future?
I think it should be a consideration still. I'm not sure if I'm ready to let it.
Okay.
I still want us to focus primarily on the existing and future, but.
Anybody else think we need to keep the second and third option on the table?
Mayor, you know, when we started this process, I think it was so great that we looked at everything, and I just want to say thank you to Mayor Lorenz because you kind of challenged some of us to go back to the drawing board and figure out what's best for the region. And I think we have all found, at least I feel like, and I don't know that we have a consensus on our board, but certainly as we start to look at this, we can either have a short-term fix or we can have a long-term solution. And I think when we started the process, we said, how could we do this so that we don't have the legislature on us, so we don't have cities concerned about the future growth. And after these extensive conversations, I believe that looking at the existing and future capacity and really doing this right from the beginning keeps us from kicking the can down the road. And I think we've all come to this with the feeling that we do want to put something long-term in place. And so I appreciate the challenge from you, Mayor, in saying, pull your team together, Des Moines, let's understand what you have been doing. And I appreciate the work that our staff has done in coming up with some ideas on this that we've shared with Jason. Thank you very much for letting us have the discussion.
Okay. With the exception of Karen on that third option, keeping it on the table, it sounds like we're going to focus on option one.
If the only reason that I might agree a little bit with Karen would be is if the existing or future capacity, if we are able to incorporate future capacity in the future, because we're really talking about creating another plant, somehow we'll be able to function within this other structure of what Des Moines Water Works is producing right now. If we're able to do that in the future, then we should be able to I'm gonna withdraw that.
Okay. So I'd like to have some discussion on, and Jason, if you went to your last slide, as we look at option one, what other information do we think we're going to need? I mean, I just started jotting down stuff. It seems to me, and we talked about it at our last meeting, we need to validate the impact on the water rates. So how do we come up with, okay, if we regionalize all the production assets, and I know there's a lot of issues to resolve to get there if we do, how do we validate what the wholesale price of water is going to be under that model versus what Urbandale thinks their price is going to be under their own plant and what West Des Moines and Waukee believe that their price is going to be under their own plant? To me, that's critical, that we actually have some numbers that everybody feels like is reasonable. Because we have to justify to our ratepayers that in the long run, financially, this makes sense to do this regionally. So to me, and you don't have to answer that now, I just think that we have to have that information. And, yeah. I mean, we talked about it and we all agreed. I mean, otherwise, how do we go out to our ratepayers and say that we think this is the right thing to do? I think there's another advantage of regionalization is redundancy and disaster recovery. I mean, what if one city had their own plan and it went out? What do they do? I think, you know, we got to share to our residents that, look, one advantage of regionalization is if a plant goes out, we have capacity to continue to provide your water into the future.
And I think to that point also is we've been thinking within boundaries. West Des Moines only serves West Des Moines. We've got to break those boundaries. If you're thinking regionally, then West Des Moines might wind up serving Clive someday or part of southeast Des Moines. I don't know. Waukee might roll into this and help serve some other assets as well. So, yes, that redundancy in plants, but the ability to think outside the boundaries. It's not just a West Des Moines plant. It's not just a Sailorville plant. It's what can reach. And then in addition with that is, as we have to build new facilities, where would they go, and what would be the cost savings in sharing that regionally as opposed to a specific city? Ankeny, we just had a conversation. Johnston's growing to the north. Ankeny's growing 4,000 houses or residents a year. There's going to need to be a plant there. There's cost sharing and sharing that through the region as opposed to Ankeny having to build a plant or Johnston having to build a plant.
I think the other piece of this that we need to understand is if Urbandale, West Des Moines, and Waukee go and build their own facilities, what is the impact on the rate then to the people who remain with Des Moines and buy water from Des Moines? I think we need to understand what that is, because I think that the price of that is going to be drastically increased because 40% of their customers have gone. I think we need that number so people can understand what the alternative is going to, how that's going to impact the other communities. And I guess we're all here because we think as a region it's going to be more economical for all of us. But at the end of the day, if it turns out it's not and people go their own way, people need to understand what the impact's going to be on the remaining people that buy water from Des Moines.
Understood. I have for tonight some pretty good numbers on what I do have available, which speaks to really the Des Moines Water Works system and the economics of what you're talking about with that system. What I don't have is if we add, say, the West Des Moines facilities to it or the Altoona facilities to it, what does that look like? But the dynamics will be similar. The totals numbers will be different. But I think what you'll see this tonight, 4 o'clock this afternoon, is that I have that prepared for you. So we can at least have that. And what you're asking for is much more detailed than what I have. But and I'm not sure how we're going to get to it with the time we have left, because it's kind of a detailed thing. But I can try to get the other facilities added to the total cost, and we can see what that looks like.
Well, I think if we're making progress, nobody wants to arbitrarily cut this off. Okay. But I think, you know, put myself in a West Des Moines situation. If the water board is going to go back to their customers and say, we think we ought to put the AC Ward plant in, the only way they can do that is if they can share with their customers. In the long run, you're going to be better off price-wise, quantity-wise, and redundancy. And everybody needs, Urbandale, everybody needs that information in order to justify the outcome of the conversation.
You know, Mayor, just one other point that I want to make, and as I look at Johnston, I think that the collaboration that we have as a group, no one wants Johnston, from the conversations I've had, to be left out because they didn't make a decision years ago on purchase capacity. And so I think we are all approaching this to say, how can we all win
right
in this situation? So, you know, to your point and some of the comments that you made, those are the conversations that I've had with many of our
right
leaders, and I just wanted to express that.
Well, I don't think Johnson can consider about being left out at all.
Good.
But I think, again, we've in the conversation we had Monday night, or Monday during the day, it was, do we include it since it only serves West Des Moines? Well, in a regional concept, it might do more than that. Same way with Altoona. In a regional concept, Altoona could push out. And with Microsoft and Facebook coming in, there's going to be more demand. So we have to think that regionally, how is that going to, perhaps maybe that Altoona plant right now only takes care of Facebook and they have to build a new facility for the residents, you know. I mean, that's just kind of changed the way we think about how some of this goes. It's got to be included in that.
Well, yeah, and I think we have a good example of how we want to take care of each other. I think, Bill, when Waukee never bought into the WRA, and when their facilities failed, they said, we want to join the WRA, and everybody said, okay. But your buy-in is going to be a little premium because you decided to do your own thing. If I remember right, it was about $15 million, but we allowed it over time because we knew they couldn't afford to do it then. So they acknowledged, yeah, we should pay a premium because we didn't want to get in at the beginning, but can you help us so we can manage it financially? And we all came together and said, yes, because you're better off being part of us.
Yeah.
But don't ask to come in at what all of us got into at the start, but you're welcome to come in, and we worked it out. So I think that's a perfect example of how we would all do the same thing as a part of regional water. you know, obviously the other thing too on here is, you know, and we struggle with it, is evaluation of these assets. If all of them are going to go in, how do you value them, and then how does that get compensated for? Is it a credit on water rate? Is it a check? What's it going to be? And now you're going to have to expand that valuation to Altoona and West Des Moines under the analysis. Otherwise, it's hard to make an intelligent decision on option one.
That'll be on the agenda tonight. I'm not prepared to give a dollar value right now because that's
a negotiable. I can give you a high one.
But it's definitely one of the challenges that we're facing. Absolutely.
Are there other significant issues that anybody on the board, and then we'll ask for public comment, wants to include on this further analysis of option one? We've got inclusion of the assets, board formation configuration, we've got valuation, how it's paid for, redundancy, impact on water rates, both as a region and if people go their own way.
Stephen, if I could just add one concept back on your valuation just for a moment. I think one of the options that Jason has put on the table relative to reserve capacity is the reserve capacity itself becomes the focus of the valuation, not the value of AC Ward versus Altoona versus Sailorville, whatever it may be. It's those 10 or 15 or whatever the number of MGD that becomes a critical valuation issue, not some kind of historic cost minus depreciation or replacement value. It becomes only focused on the 15 or so MGD.
All right, let's just explore what valuation means.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It doesn't. Okay. Okay, we'll take a pause and see if there's any public comment. Danny?
I won't be able to be at the meeting this evening and give you another commitment, but I did want to make mention from the CLAG perspective, we're in a little bit of a different role than most of the rest of Milwaukee are. A number of years ago, we purchased a significant amount of the purchase capacity. And we at CLAG are very concerned about, how we protect that and how are we going to end up with that situation in the long term. We're certainly supportive of the regional effort. There's no question about that. Participant in that all along and trying to push that toward that conclusion. But we don't have any assets per se that we bring to the table other than that purchase capacity. So that's one of our major concerns.
Well, and I think one of our tenets is if we're all going to do this, everybody has to get the amount of water that they need when they predict they need it, again, within some reasonable, you've got to predict it. So I think the notion is, Denny, we'd have to protect that for you based on what your city thinks they need. And hopefully what we're going to come up with is a price that's less than what you pay your purchase capacity price at. Now it's a win-win for you.
Yeah, exactly.
We get what we want, and we're actually getting it cheaper than what we contracted to buy it for under the old model.
So that's the concern
that
we have from our perspective.
Okay. Anyone else on public comments? Okay. Anyone else on the board? They're normally not this quiet, Jason, at 4 to 6 in the afternoon. So this may be a good sign.
I'll have some more photographs of puppies.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe some background soothing music. All right, we're adjourned. Thanks.
Start with yoga. Put your fire departments in. Yeah, see that in the news.